This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. If there's going to be a Democratic blue wave in November, a grassroots progressive movement called Indivisible will get a lot of the credit for stirring up political waters. The Indivisible movement took shape locally and nationally as a resistance to President Trump. GLT's Ryan Denham spoke recently to three members of the Indivisible McLean County leadership team, Susan Cortese, Patrick Cortese, and Carrie Calvert. Susan Cortese says her group is evolving. She says they've moved from a narrow target on Trump to a broader focus on local Republican congressmen and getting their own people elected to office.
And in the beginning, we were really focused on the ACA and the votes that were happening there. And now we've kind of evolved into how do we make a change and how do we make a difference in our community in regards to the votes that are happening on things like the ACA and the tax votes that were elected in this year.
Structurally, what's changed? Early on, I remember seeing Indivisible 13, Indivisible 18. Now I see Indivisible McLean County. Can one of you talk about sort of the structural morphing that the movement has kind of gone through?
When we first started in our training session, they divided us up into districts. And all the 13 people met together, and all the 18 people met together. And then people outside that district met to decide where they were going to go and what they would work on. And for a year, we functioned separately. As we moved forward, we saw that we were always together. We were always in the same room. We decided that maybe we should join forces. We aren't just Bloomington. We aren't just Normal. We're McLean County. And as McLean County, we need to fight together on those issues. Because what Darren LaHood does here affects the people in 13, just as what Rodney Davis does affects the people in the 18. And we needed to come together. And bigger was better for us. And we love these women that came on as leadership. They're smart, intelligent, well-spoken, and they had ideas that were going to help grow that our Indivisible team. And we have just been able to make bigger, better events because of it.
Well, let's bring Carrie into the conversation. I think nationally, when people think about the Indivisible movement, there's a sense that one of the things it was trying to do was replicate the Tea Party's success, the Tea Party being this group that was formed during the Obama administration, fueled in large part by opposition to the Affordable Care Act. And I realize you would disagree on just about every issue from the Tea Party folks of 2010. In what ways are there parallels to what Indivisible has accomplished and what it wants to accomplish and the way that the Tea Party went about its business back in 2009 and 10?
They use some of the same techniques and structure. They just use it in a progressive format. You know, how the Tea Party got itself organized, how they moved forward, how they contacted their representatives, how they went to town halls. That's all very similar to what the Indivisible is doing. But obviously the agendas and the focus on the issues is completely different. And also, I think that they've also focused on us not attacking people. It's not a hostile movement. It's about really trying to reach out and as Patrick was saying, keeping our members of Congress accountable to their districts and not to special interests.
I dislike the comparison to the Tea Party because my impression of the Tea Party is that it was very obstructionist, that they seemed to just want to go against whatever they felt was happening in Washington, D.C., where I feel that Indivisible is more proactive and values-driven, results-driven. We're not obstructing for obstructing's sake. We honestly are trying to express ourselves and our values and our beliefs. And this is the best way that we know to be good citizens.
Carrie, what do you think is the difference in the line between the Indivisible movement and the traditional Democratic Party? What's the utility of having them as separate entities, and how can one impact the other?
We're not a party, you know? We're not tied to party lines, maybe, and so that allows us to do things that maybe people who are locked into the party structure can't do. I think what Patrick said, we support that. You know, we are, in general, a progressive movement, but if there was a candidate from another party that was equally as progressive, I don't know that we would disagree about supporting that person. So I think it maybe allows us some freedom of structure, that in general we're aligned with the Democratic Party movement, but that doesn't necessarily negate us supporting a candidate that might be an independent or a Green or even a Republican. I'm kind of like Patrick. I'm more of a moderate centrist in my viewpoints, but occasionally you run across a candidate and you're like, I have to cross party lines to vote for that person. Because we're an organic organization and we're not really locked into a party structure, it allows us some freedom of and flow of movement for us to do things that perhaps other folks can't do because they're restricted.
Patrick, how do you plan to stay involved with the McLean County Democratic Party since it's coming up short in your bid to become chair of the party, a job that ultimately went to Eric Rankin?
I will continue to stay very involved and active and try and get as many Democratic candidates elected as we can. I was also elected as a precinct committee person, so that will be the bulk of my work. And we'll continue to support Eric and the rest of the executive committee and let's get as many Democrats elected as we can.
That's Patrick Cortese from the Indivisible Leadership Team in McLean County. He was joined in studio by Carrie Calvert and Susan Cortese, also with Indivisible Leadership. I'm Ryan Denham.
Patrick Cortese was recently named to the newly expanded executive committee of the local Democratic Party. He'll serve as communications chair. You're listening to Sound Ideas on 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.